What's going on, everybody? We are back to Full Press Hockey Weekly Show here on Saturday, September 23rd. It's a rainy day on the East Coast. Myself, the host of the show, Jim Berenger, alongside my co-host, Chris Wassel, Ian Glennon behind the scenes. We are back for a new season of NHL hockey. Get it, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, at Full Press NHL on Twitter, FullPressCoverage.com, FullPressHockey.com, Full Press Hockey and Coverage on Facebook as well as YouTube. Chris, welcome back. New season. It began early on the East Coast, down under.
Oh, wait. What time was it this morning? Midnight?
Midnight.
When I heard the faint sounds of the Australian National Anthem and NHL.com, by the way. Don't stream from Australia ever again,
no.
Please.
No, don't ever. No.
This is all right. So before I switch for folks listening, before I switched back to the Xfinity regular TV normal feed, I tried the stream just to see what would happen. This is what I heard.
Nothing.
Then
nothing.
Then almost like there, you know, the old joke, there was light, but you couldn't see it.
That's why I watch it on TV, man.
That's why you had to watch it on TV last night. You know, there was definitely some issues. Not everybody had them, but it was definitely noticeable on that thing called social media.
Look, I'm not gonna say I'm a big time cable guy, but you need cable and you need streaming. You just got to find a way to make it work on both ways. Look, it was cool to see it. As I quote tweeted Dennis Burdisi from the fourth period. The roof was closed. No heat index down in Australia. No, it wasn't tennis season. It was hockey season with the roof closed.
Live
on Rod Laver Arena. It actually looked really cool. Like,
yeah,
I wasn't sure
job.
How they were going to do it, but it looked really, really cool.
Yeah, for those that didn't get to see some of the lower angles, and it was kind of fortunate to know some people there that weren't media, which was cool. Because, you know, it's nice to get that perspective that you don't get from level 9, as we call it.
Right.
The big important takeaway was they pulled it off.
Yeah.
And they pulled it off pretty darn well. And that's all that matters from last night. Never mind the game. Never mind the Logan Cooley goal that we're probably going to talk about at some point.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
But the most important thing was... it worked.
Yes.
That's it. It worked.
It did work. Look, the game, they got some goals. They got some nice shootout goals. They had some fun. It was a fun night. Look, these Global Series games about growing the game, doing things like that. See, you have to stay up late. You got to watch early. Look, long nights, sleepless nights, whatever. But they did a good job. Yes, there's hockey down there still. They had that 100-year-old guy there, dropped the ceremonial first puck. Dude didn't even look like he was 100, to be honest. Looked like he was like 80. I didn't.
It's not fair.
Like 100.
It's
I was like,
fair.
Dude, there's no way this dude's 100. No way. But it was a fun game. Look, I watched the highlights. I stayed up for a little bit and watched it. I just want to see the look forward, to be honest. And it was cool. And then I saw the highlight of Logan Cooley. Man, the kid's going to be fun to watch. But again, look, what Connor Bedard did at the prospect tournament, what all these guys do in preseason, as Ian, our producer, knows, don't mean squat. Preseason stuff don't mean squat. Look, it's a nice goal. It's going to be a highlight. He'll probably pull it off in a regular season too. But again, talk to me when the regular season starts and these goals are happening, because guys can light it up in a preseason against players that are not going to be there. So, I mean, it's all well and good. The Coyotes get a win. They're going to have a second game. And as I put in my observations this morning, I suspect that this is going to continue as a trend down in Australia. And for me, if I'm a player, I'd rather be doing it now than in November, just because your body has to get adjusted to coming back.
Yeah, it's quite arduous of a return back to your normal playing level after flying
right.
That long.
Well, I mean, you could just be like Darrell Evans and just jump rope in the back of the plane.
Didn't think of that. It's
I mean, you saw his Instagram.
Darrell's
a machine, though. Darrell's a machine. We had him on Full Press Hockey NHL podcast. I mean, he's a machine with the jump rope and the running and everything, but he's a good dude and he gets it. But look, Kings, Yotes, they had, it was good fun. I mean, Coyotes have three, they had practically three preseason games in one day, but again, split squads over multiple states. So it's kind of cool. And it's cool to see hockey in the Southern Hemisphere. I suspect we get it again. We'll have more Global Series games in November, but the hats off for the NHL for doing this, getting it done. And, you know, hats off to Australia, Rod Laver Arena for making it look good, because in a few months time, we're going to be down there again for tennis. So, but you know, good on them. It looked good.
Yeah. Who do we get to contact for that? All joking aside.
That's true. Oh, we talked to ESPN, I think. Maybe.
Look, that arena, we had our doubts. We didn't think they could pull it off that good. It looked really good. It was well done. The presentations were on point. Everything was solid.
The TV camera feed was really good. They put the camera was really good.
That's important, too. People don't realize that the camera angle is just as important as, you know, the quality of the feed.
Right.
You don't want those stupid zip line drones bumping into each other.
No.
We saw that in the early days of the NFL. So, needless to say, bravo to Australia. And, hey, you know what?
There's another game tonight, so.
It's not so bad.
It's not so bad. So hockey down under, kick things off, kick the preseason off. Training camps have opened. Everybody's in town. Before we get to the Mike Babcock stuff, you know, training camps open this week. And, you know, we had some news coming out, some guys dropping hammers to the media. A lot of stuff going around rumors wise, because I kind of want to save the Mike Babcock stuff till the end, because I think we can have a nice discussion about this. But off the top, man, Steven Stamkos with the hammer, like bringing heat, like the first day, no on-ice drills, nothing. Meets with the media, said he's disappointed that the lack of contract talks over the summer. He thought it was going to be resolved. He wanted it to be resolved. He's ready whenever they can do it. He just can't write the contract. Meanwhile, you have Julian Breezeau coming out and says, yeah, well, Steven and I want to, you know, win. We both want to win, but I have to look at the cap, see how we can acclimate our dollars the right way and keep us in a contending place for a long time. Guys, you know, up at Full Press Hockey, I wrote an article about the end of an era, the Tampa Bay Lightning modern day dynasty. And look, yes, did they have time off? Yes. Is the salary cap going to go up next year? Yes, but they're still in salary cap. Heck, because, well, they have $75 million committed to 15 players next year. And, you know, if I'm Stamkos, you know, I would be looking at guys like Hagel, Cirelli, Chernak, Sergachev, Kucherov, Point, and Vasilevsky and be like, well, these guys got their contracts done a year before they were up. How come I'm not getting one? And I'm the captain. I've done all this stuff. But, Chris, you know as much as I know, we both heard the rumblings once McDonough got traded. Stamkos could have been the next guy, and maybe the next guy that falls in this domino for the Lightning.
Yeah, this isn't the first time that we've heard something like this, where Stamkos was involved in at least a remote or indirect trade rumor. And now, to be honest, with this coming out, you got to think the echoes are only going to amplify a little bit more, especially as the season goes along. That's a big problem for Tampa Bay. You don't want to say it's an unneeded distraction, because you kind of,
but it's a distraction.
But it is a look. It's when you drop that, like, just right away. I mean, this was straight off the top. I'm, you know, basically in so many words, I'm pissed off
that this isn't done. I told you at the end of last year it needed to be done. We didn't have any talks over the summer. It's like,
that's okay. The other thing.
Yeah, they had zero talks.
Zero
about
contact.
It. And you, as a lot of guys have been saying, you hope the owner knew that this is what Stamkos wanted, because you know Jeffrey Vinnick's going to want to keep him there as long as possible.
Right.
Like McDonough probably wanted to be there. Stamkos is a lifer. Sign a contract, number to the rafters, the whole nine yards. But from my point is, you look at how the dynasty was built. Yeah, I know Breezeau mentality, oh, well, these guys aren't going to help us, you know, win now. Well, yeah, but you know who was looking towards the future for helping guys win now? The GM who's in Detroit now, because he drafts Kucherov, Point, Palat, Johnson, all these guys.
Yep.
They don't have those guys coming right now.
There's nothing in the pipeline.
Nothing. And it's scary. It's scary because it could end quickly. Now, look, this year they may take a run. They're probably going to get back in the playoffs. If the cap goes up 4 to 6 million, they may have a chance to get maybe one or two more cups out of it, maybe a couple of runs, because you can add those pieces back because of the stagnant cap. But they have work to do. And if I'm Stamkos, I'm looking at it and be like, look, could he leave? It's highly doubtful. But if we get another summer of Stamkos like we did in 2016, man, who knows who comes calling? It's going to be interesting to see this because, you know, he's such an important player to that team. I know they're getting older. It's the Belichick model. I know, understand it's a business, but you're lumping your captain into everybody else. Stamkos is like Matthews. He's above everybody else.
Yeah, if the cap goes up like it's like it could. Because we're not going to say that it's definite, because we've found out the hard way that that doesn't necessarily work that way.
Right.
But, even if it goes up 3-4 million, that means some other team out there that is desperate to add a draw that has a certain guy coming off the books, potentially, that they really don't want to see in Toronto.
I mean, look, we knew
it would take a lot for that to work too. But again, there's.
But he was almost a Toronto Maple Leaf in 2016.
He was very close. Was he Elias the Rangers close?
No.
No.
But.
Close enough.
Close enough because remember, everybody remembers 2016, June 29th. Larson for Hall. Subban for Weber, and then that happened. The extension came.
Yep.
Look, does he want to play 20 seasons yet? Do you think he gets a 4 or 5 year deal to get there? Yeah. But it's going to take work. And the fact that they're not going to talk about it all season, it makes you wonder. But again, this is going to be a situation to watch because everybody talks about, well, Breezeau, you know, he's got to negotiate this deal with Stamkos. Yeah, it was Yzerman who did it last time. And they're kind of like following the same procedure there. And, you know, you look at Anaheim, right? And you see Trevor Zegras, Jamie Drysdale, no deals yet. Pat Verbeek's the GM. Curious decisions this year for him. He's, you know, he's with Steve Yzerman in Tampa and then I believe again in Detroit. He's kind of following that Tampa model with, hey, we're going to bridge you and then we'll long-term you. When a guy like Zegras probably should be getting an 8-year deal if Troy Terry got a 7-year deal. Right?
That's a little bit of a – okay, it's a big problem.
That's a big problem.
It's a big problem. It's not a little one. No. It's a pretty big one. Let's be honest. Just think about this from a logistics standpoint. Two of the four remaining RFAs are from the Ducks.
Yep.
That's pretty sobering. We all expected Zegras probably to come to this point. It was going to take a while. But you have Drysdale on top of it. I mean, that's a heck of a headache to have coming into a season where, let's face it, expectations are low, but you at least need two of your better players
to be there.
To be there from the beginning. You figure new coach, new system. I mean, you could go down the line here with Anaheim.
A lot of things need to go their way. You have a guy who's been putting up 60 points. Jamie Drysdale's going to become a top four defenseman. Is it probably a top two defenseman on that team? Is it going to become really good? You know, he's a rock solid player. Zegras, you know, we know what he's done. He's marketable. He's got the highlight reel goals, the skill, everything's there. You want, that's a guy you want to build around. And both guys, it's, from the sounds of it, are going to get bridge deals. And it's going to come down to money. And if Anaheim's really offering $3 to $4 million on a bridge deal to Zegras, this may last a long time. This could be like Nylander.
Yeah.
Because to me, if you're going to go short-term deal, Zegras is going to want 5 or 6.
At least. Minimum.
Minimum on a bridge.
And you might have to keep going on that.
I mean, at that point, then why not get a long-term deal done?
Yeah. I think
before his value really goes up.
Yeah, I think at that point you're just better off ripping the Band-Aid right off and go, here's the long-term deal.
Yeah.
We've seen lesser players get – the problem is we've seen lesser players this offseason get that long-term deal already.
Right.
Never mind Troy Terry. Be fair. I mean, you know, he paid his dues more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Zegras is a franchise player.
Yeah, you drafted Zegras as the top guy. And when you draft the top guy, you pay the – I mean – look, this is common sense. There's no other way to get around this. You have to pay him.
Right. You saw it in Montreal. You saw it with New Jersey with Heischer in the final year of his deal. He got his extension. Jack Hughes got an extension, which is looking so much better than before. It's going to be a big-time steal.
Nathan MacKinnon good almost.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe you could even throw Pasternak good in there, too.
You could. And that's the thing. This is why you do it now.
You do it now before the value of it really goes up. And look, I'm not saying he's going to get offer sheeted. I'm not saying he's going to get traded. But, you know, somebody could offer sheet him. He's eligible. Drysdale isn't.
Right. That's the difference.
So, I mean, look. And it's all really quiet on that front because it doesn't seem like anything's going anywhere.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of anything even from some of the Duck guys. Now also to be noted this year.
Not a lot of Duck guys there.
There's not a lot of Duck guys. Look, I mean, even Eric Stevens has been kind of like sort of diverted for now. So if that doesn't tell you what's going on, that's...
State of the franchise, man.
It's not good.
No. It's going to be a team to watch. It's going to be players to watch. I mean, we know, talk about another RFA. We're going to talk about Shane Pinto in Ottawa. I mean, look, there's reports that, you know, Flyers were kicking tires on him, legit. Ottawa's not going to want to trade one of their young fundamental pieces, but they have to clear cap space and they got to clear about $3 million to get this done.
Yeah, they have a good deal of work to do. And look, any package that ultimately would involve a player like Pinto is going to carry a heavy price. I mean, we've heard, you know, at least a first-round pick.
Which is why I think Ottawa's trying to get him done. But again, I think they're, for me, at least what I've been hearing is they're trying to get the money done to get him to get off the books first before they get that extension done. Because they need to know how much they can give him.
They need a dollar amount, and right now they
just don't have it.
They can't find a willing. Let's put it this way: they can't find a willing taker. And the answer is
no. You did not.
No, you did not.
Stay tuned, Kyle. Stay tuned.
We will not do the Michigan on this talk.
No, we will not. No, this is that we're going to give it some time, but we want to run through some rumors here and some news and notes before we get into the Mike Babcock situation in Columbus. But yeah, I mean, Pinto, I think that gets done. Hopefully they get him into camp and into some games because that's a player you don't want there. You wonder about Zegras and Drysdale, how long that take goes. But again, usually radio silence means nothing good. And if he's taking the Yzerman approach and the Lou approach, then things aren't going to really get out. You go north of the border. We got Nylander and Bradshaw Living basically throwing haymakers at the media. And we know how the media can get. You know, we're both a part of it. We know we like to talk about things. Both guys are like, we're not giving you play-by-plays of our contract talks. Both reiterated that the player said he wants to stay there. GM wants to sign him. Discussions closed. William Nylander was a little polite and says, please stop asking me about it, because he wants to focus on hockey. You know it's a storyline. And it's funny because these guys took the approach that you and I had suggested a few months back on the show. Say, if Matthews got to this point, address it now, and then it's going to go away. It usually doesn't. I mean, look, you know, Pettersson in Vancouver even said, he's like, guys, why are you asking about this? I told you what I have to say. But that's what the media, they like to dig and find out things. And even Pettersson's like, I'm not worried about it. I'm playing hockey. And, you know, it's interesting to see that, but it's a different approach now. Guys are taking it. It's just like, hey, this is my situation. This is where I'm standing. You can ask me all the questions you want. You're getting the same answer.
Yeah. Don't like it. Too bad.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? I kind of like it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because then it becomes every day, every storyline, everything. It's just, it's always the same questions being asked about contracts and, oh, you want to go? How much you cut it off now, you take care of it. Then you can focus on the ice. And I think now we've turned the page for Toronto and they're focusing on the ice.
Right. Which they kind of need to, given,
right,
you know, the current state of situation.
Right. Yeah. Matt Murray, Muzzin, Robida Island.
I hear it's quite the place. I mean,
I heard it's very, got some nice beaches.
Got beaches, palm trees, floating tiki bar, by the way.
Was that a new addition?
It's got to be a new addition. Yeah, I think they have a little extra money now, so.
Okay.
It's that playoff revenue.
Yeah, absolutely, that playoff revenue that comes through. But look, I think we all can agree that Nylander wants $10 million. They moved him to center. It's going to be interesting to see what they do if he moves up, because I think if you're going to keep him at center, he has to play second line. If he's not, then you move Tavares to the wing. If he's not, that's going to really affect his numbers going forward. But look, it's not out of the realm of possibility that, you know, he leaves via free agency. I think they're going to use him as an own rental.
Maybe.
But I think they may end up getting something done. Maybe, you know, if he puts up numbers like he did, then he's a $10 million player. Maybe they can convince him to take 9.95. But again, what does that mean for Marner next year? Because we're going to go through the whole song and dance again with Toronto next year, again with Marner.
When you put that much money in four players like this in the time that they did, you almost had to see it coming.
You did. And again, it goes back to John Tavares signing there and throwing a whole monkey wrench into this whole thing.
Yeah.
And you got to wonder if he comes back when his contract expires. If he does, it's going to be a lot less than it is now because he's not that type of player.
He need to go.
Yeah.
I'd rather have that guy in Tampa there.
For a couple seasons at least, because maybe he puts them over the edge to where they can win.
Yeah. And he knows how to win.
Exactly. Because he's done it.
Yeah. I mean, it's no disrespect to John Tavares, but the bottom line is, it ain't it.
No, they ain't it. So Toronto, team to watch. We shift to Western Canada. We mentioned Elias Pettersson. We know what his situation is. He's looking for money. He wants to get paid. Calgary, some change of hearts from guys like Noah Hanifin, Elias Lindholm. They seem to be willing to stay now in Calgary. Maybe it's the new coach, new philosophy, new GM coming in there. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's the old adage. I mean, how much is Elias Lindholm really worth? And look, Lindholm, despite the down year last year, has probably a lot more leverage than anyone thinks. Now, can he get $9 million?
Maybe.
We don't know. We don't know what Craig Conroy is willing to pay at this point. He's never said anything as far as an actual dollar amount. There's been rumors about it, But then again, just that. Rumors. There is nothing concrete on the table right now. It's nope. just that it seems like there's a general willingness from both sides to say, hey, you know, as the old Beatles song says, we can work it out.
And they look like to be working it out. And similar with Michael Backlund too, because if they are able to get him signed and happy, he might be the next captain of the Flames, though I think it might be Mackenzie Weegar, just the way the guy presents himself and he's all around the community and the way, you know, he talks and everything. I gotta believe it's Weegar.
It seems to be. I mean, there's a look, I'm not going to lie, there's a little part of me that thinks it should be Backlund just because of all that he's been through in Calgary.
Right, me too. But I think that gets settled once he signs his contract.
Yeah, it's the old, well, okay, contract first, then the other thing that starts with a C maybe later.
Yeah. I mean, look at Vancouver. Quinn Hughes is the captain. I think it's the right choice. I don't know if it was going to be Pettersson, but he was taken out of the equation because of his contract, not having an extension in place.
Yeah, sometimes you know, it's as simple as got to be paid first to get the letter.
Exactly. And if Pettersson puts up what he did last year, look out, man. Double digits for him.
Man, he's gonna be
the highest paid player on that team if he stays.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. He more than deserves it for one, but for two, extremely dangerous player. It's just they gotta find something defensively.
Yes, they do. And we'll see. I mean, could they be a threat? Could we get Bubba Demko back? Maybe. But again, it's goaltending. It goes down to goaltending. Speaking of goaltending and players, you got Winnipeg, Connor Hellebuyck, Mark Scheifele. They're in camp right now. They're going to be staying there. Connor Hellebuyck continues to say he wants to win a Stanley Cup, whether it's with Winnipeg or not. He's making his case. You know, for now, they're going to keep him. No takers. Winnipeg, if these players perform at the level we expect them to, they may not be in the mediocre middle or the murky middle, as I like to say, but they're still close to it because they still haven't accepted the fact that this team needs to rebuild and not retool.
Yeah, not to mention that they have another burgeoning problem, which has been a problem since I can seemingly remember. And unfortunately, that's Nikolai Ehlers.
Yeah.
Who's now injured on top of it. So
again?
Yes, he has a neck injury. He is day-to-day right now.
That's not good. He's always a good player, too.
He'd probably be out for at least the early part of the week.
He probably doesn't play. He doesn't probably play.
I don't think he sees much in the way of preseason at this point now.
Neither do I.
And I do think there is definitely some kind of disconnect between him and Bonus. It wasn't a secret last year. Whether anybody wants to admit that or not is another question entirely and for another soapbox. But the bottom line is he's just been so misused in his time.
Absolutely.
And that's just a fact. I don't want to hear anybody that tries to dispute this because you really don't have a leg to stand on.
No, you don't. He's been misused in Winnipeg.
And that's helped lead to this murky middle. And you could argue, here's the thing. They're not even in a position to trade him right now. They have the other two messes and they have a few other little like burgeoning sort of.
There's a bigger mess even besides all that stuff is the culture in the room, the culture of the Winnipeg. You know,
it's frayed beyond.
Kevin Cheveldayoff continues to hold on to players that have clearly stated they don't want to be here, and it messes up the room and the dynamic with the coaching and everything.
Yep. And they're saying the right things, to be fair.
They always do. They know how to handle this stuff. I mean, they've been handling this stuff since the Vander Kane days. But at some point, it takes a toll on the players in the room.
Right. And you have to sit there at this point, from what we've heard the past, say, 48 to 72 hours, and go, all of what we've heard from these two players rings hollow.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You can't blame them. I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on. If they play well, they're just gonna let them walk anyway.
Exactly, and they're gonna get nothing for them. Now, I mean, Kyle, if you know, he asked a good question. If the Jets want to trade him, I think he's probably referring to Ehlers. Do they hold him out of the lineup until they move him? That's a difficult proposition too, because then teams aren't really seeing what Ehlers has and what his value is. If that was closer to the trade deadline, they may have seen it, enough of what they want in the season. Now you're really not knowing. I don't know how many guys teams are going to want to trade for an injury-prone guy.
Yeah, it's a concern. I mean, look, and I don't know if I go as far as to call him injury-prone just yet. But it just adds to the frustration of what was already a tumultuous training camp, to say the least.
Absolutely. It is. It's going to be interesting to watch all these situations, bear watching moving forward, as we have, you know, a lot of storylines to follow as we get into training camp and things underway in the preseason as they've begun down under before the preseason even began, before training camps even opened. The big headline that kind of died, to be honest, it did, because of the Stamkos news and the Nylander news, and maybe we're never going to find out more of the situation, but the Mike Babcock situation in Columbus. Mike Babcock is, if you lived under a rock, is no longer the coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. He resigned because said it was a distraction for the team. You know, Yarmo came out and said, you know, he wasn't, you know, he understood why people felt uncomfortable, but Babcock did it to him. He didn't really feel uncomfortable. Goudreau said he wasn't uncomfortable. Jenner, same thing. As the allegations from the Spit and Chicklets podcast came out and said that, you know, he's looking at phones, looking at players' pictures, all this stuff. And, yeah, it might have been a shorter tenure than Barry Melrose was, maybe.
It was.
You know, you had Babcock signed July 1st. He gets all his money from the Leafs, so you already know what kind of person he is. Apparently, he started doing this stuff during developmental camp, and it just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And he talked a good game. He talked about changing all this stuff, and he didn't change. We don't know who the players were. We're not going to know. But it just makes you wonder if this team did its due diligence. Look, John Davidson took his lumps, took his criticism. He said we should be criticized for it. But again, when you hire a polarizing figure and a controversial figure, this is what's going to happen. As everybody knows, I've compared Mike Babcock to CM Punk. We saw what happened in AEW with him. Again, it's different situations, but again, controversial figures. And to me, look, Jackets, they might have not handled everything right, but still, the fact that the coach didn't make it to training camp. It's a problem. And the fact of the matter is, as much as Mike Babcock wants to talk a good game, he had to be perfect, and he wasn't. And this is the only decision you can make. And Pascal Vincent, who was probably the guy that should have been hired in the first place, gets his job, right circumstances. Actually. And he said all the right things. And he's like, yeah, I'm waiting things out, all that stuff. I think this is probably the best move for this team. But again, credit to the PA, credit to Marty Walsh, credit to everybody involved for just not settling on statements and doing their due diligence.
Yeah, look, there was actually a pretty full investigation done here, which is rare for the NHL.
And NHLPA. But again, that's why Especially. Marty Walsh was hired. But that's when Marty Walsh was hired. He said he wanted to be a mobile PA director and he wanted to take care of the players. Now, you could say there was a conflict of interest with Ron Hainsey being involved in this thing because he played for Babcock, and them going back and back and back and digging on his past history. But again, I think they wanted to see a pattern.
Yeah, I mean, look, in anything like this, you're trying to go, well, okay, what did he do? Has he done it before? Do you think he'll do it again?
Right.
And that risk of the third part is a lot of the reason why he got fired.
Yes.
It's not what he, it's crazy to say. It's not what he did. It's what he might have done in the future. And now this also has to be said too. That team has its own splinter disconnect that you could argue should have costed a certain GM his job a long time ago, and he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
That's an even bigger problem. It's like having the unwelcomed house guest. And we keep a line in. Look, for lack of a better term, he is the unwelcome house guest. It's not a secret. He did not want to hire Vincent.
No, he didn't.
That's the other thing that this comes down to. One thing that you're probably not going to hear is that certain people in the organization wanted to hire Pascal Vincent right away.
But but Yarmo wanted to recapture the magic that the Jackets had with that discipline under John Tortorella.
Right. And you just can't go recapturing the magic by hiring any old retread.
Yep.
Especially a retread with the kind of checkered past that Mike Babcock still clearly has.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some of the stories that are coming out, again, not involved, not there, but you hear about potentially bringing a player over for lunch, going through phones for several minutes, and then just kicking the kid out. I mean, I don't know. Again, wasn't there, not sure how true it is, but I mean, look, if this is getting out there, then that's a problem. And, you know, again, I wanted to put all the past aside. I want to say, hey, second chance. Okay, let's see what we can do here. Because, again, I took the coach and looked at the coach and said, hey, he's a good NHL coach. Despite everything else, take everything else out of the equation, the guy is a good NHL coach.
Yeah. You can't say that he's not.
But he has a checkered past, and that checkered past is going to hurt him and his eligibility for the Hall of Fame and all that stuff, because he's won gold medals. He's got a Stanley Cup. He took an Anaheim Ducks team carried by Jean-Sébastien Girard to a Stanley Cup final they had no business being in. But you just don't hear guys sticking up for him. And if they do, it's off air. And it's not a good thing. And he needed to know that he couldn't do this kind of stuff. We know, you know, look, there's certain guys that just don't like him, which is fine. And maybe he was set up to fail. Maybe these guys just wanted him out of there, and they did whatever to get him out of there. But he knew he had to be better, and he wasn't. And that's the problem.
Sadly, yes.
I mean, he needed to do things the right way and didn't do them the right way.
Which, you know, it keeps going back to part A. Okay, who hired him?
Karkkainen.
Who probably has to go?
The general manager. Because I don't think JD's going, because I think he has a good relationship with ownership and Columbus, and they welcomed him back after that Ranger stuff.
Yeah, that was its
own. And he's taking his criticism, and he understands that.
Right. I mean, look, this wasn't completely his decision, but he had a role in it, and he knows that.
Yeah.
Whereas you have a general manager right now that seems completely unfazed by it. I mean, if you looked at that press conference, it didn't seem to bother him.
No, it didn't, which was concerning, because some of the words coming out of that press conference were very concerning.
And, you know, that's kind of where you have to look at this. I mean, you have to be thorough with something like this.
But also, Chris, you and I both know this is a business. It's not just for players. It's guys like that. You have to wonder how many years he has left on that contract. How much is the buyout? How much all that stuff is you going to make him go away and bring in a new guy? You know,
you have to find someone.
Right, exactly. So that takes time, and you can't just drop a general manager without having somebody to replace him. So I think maybe he has the year and maybe they get rid of him. I don't know. We'll see. Doesn't seem like it. But, you know, that team, now that that stuff is gone, you look at that team with Fantilli, with Johnson, with all these young players, and Pascal Vincent, I think that's good. You know, you hear Boone Jenner and Goudreau, you know, it seems like the locker room's together. Let's see what they do on the ice, because they have a nice young team.
They have a nice young team and a defenseman with a two-cent head. That'll be fun.
Yep. Damon Severson, you know we love him.
I mean, look, he's going to – hey, at the very least for fantasy teams, he'll provide a boost this year.
He will.
He'll finally be able to find that magic offense somewhere.
It's gonna be interesting, but like the just the whole Babcock thing was just the way to start that off. And, but again, good on Marty Walsh coming in there saying, "Hey, okay, well, we have this, but we've talked to players. You know, they and it was kind of ironic that they were meeting with the NHL anyway on that Friday. They gave the report." And when it said ongoing, you're just like, yeah, he's not surviving the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, anytime you hear those dreaded words, it's like, that's going to, yep. They're going to have to act quickly here.
Yep. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun season. The NHL is back in full swing. We got preseason hockey. Puck drops tomorrow on this continent. Yeah. Actually, the games are probably going on right now on this.
Yeah, this game's
in North
tonight.
America. And we have, you know, more games tomorrow. And the preseason is getting full swing as the countdown to the start of the regular season is on.
Just a mere few weeks. That's it.
Few weeks. And we're back at it again.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, whether Lafreniere, what wing he should play on, which position X player should play on, why isn't this guy, you know, why are these teams coming, you know, you'll have the dreaded, you know, why is X team coming out of the gate slow, and you know, Y team coming out fast, you know,
who can make the playoffs? What group of three are we gonna make? It's gonna be fun to see. It's gonna be interesting, but I mean, look. All in all, you know, a lot of rumors still, a lot of great storylines, a lot of fun things to watch, a lot of great players to watch. It's going to be a fun season. You know, Full Press Hockey Weekly will be here with you, carrying you every step of the way. Thanks, everybody, for commenting, Kyle. It's been great. This has been the first episode of the new season for the Full Press Hockey Weekly show, kicking off the 2023-2024 season the right way here on a Saturday. Rainy day here on the East Coast, but you know what? All in all, been a great episode. Myself, Jim Berenger, Chris Wassel, Ian behind the scenes. Get it at Full Press NHL on Twitter, fullpresscoverage.com, fullpresshockey.com, Full Press Hockey and Coverage on Facebook, Full Press Coverage on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Full Press Hockey Weekly Show will be back real soon. Guys, take care and enjoy.